Great. Well, good evening. I think you'll agree that it is just one of the most special times of the year. It is for me, anyway. I love the carol service. There is just something about the dark and the lights that basically I always end up crying. So I've already this evening nipped the toilets to get tissues. And I don't know, maybe that's just me, but if that's you too, then you are in, you're in company with me anyway. It's the time of year, isn't it, when we're in winter and it's dark, cold, miserable. It's when we want to reach for blankets and light our fires, although we're not allowed to do that anymore, to indulge in those comfort foods. And we begin, I don't know, I do, I start to begin how many days it is until it starts to get light again, because I don't like it that much. But for many of us, including myself, this season might seem a little bit darker, perhaps, than normal. It's been a really challenging year. Things might feel especially dark for you right now. And if that's the case, you're probably not alone in this room. Perhaps you've recently been diagnosed with a medical condition, or perhaps your mental health hasn't really been that great this year. Relationships perhaps are strained, or other disappointments have seemed like they're going to engulf you. As well as your own struggles, of course, there are those of friends and family that we carry as well. And along with this, we have the wider world slipping deeper and deeper into darkness. And just this week, I stood behind a guy in a coffee shop at the university, and I heard him saying that work was busy to the cafetiere barista guy. But he said this was a good thing because it stopped him thinking too much. And I wonder if you can relate to that. It's difficult, isn't it, to hear more bad news. And you might be thinking now, I've come here for a bit of light relief. Louise, stop it. But burying our heads really doesn't make it go away. There are currently 56 global conflicts. It's the highest number since World War II. And if this doesn't make you feel a little bit unsettled, then I don't know what will. Within our political system, we see growing polarization and hatred. So I'm asking tonight, how do we find light in these dark times? We can feel so helpless at times, can't we? We're not in government. We're not world leaders. We're just little us. So how do we find light and peace when everything seems to be moving and shaking? Well, the good news is that there is an answer. There is a place of light, and we find it in the pages of Scripture. We celebrate it at Christmas. And this isn't a temporary, short-lived dopamine hit of a present unwrapped, or watching a Christmas rom-com, or Die Hard, if that's your thing. It's the gift that God has given us, and we've been singing about it tonight. It is the light that shines in the darkness, and John's Gospel clearly says, and the darkness has never and never will and cannot overcome it. It is the one thing that will not overwhelm, cannot be overwhelmed. And that's what I want to share with you tonight, a reminder perhaps for some and a new idea for others, that the Bible presents some truths. We will find light in the darkest of times when we put our trust in God. Whatever we're facing, whatever you've been through this year, whatever you'll face in the coming year, nothing can extinguish the light of Jesus if you let him into your life and begin to trust him. We are able to find light in the darkest of times when we put our trust in him. We've read loads of verses from the Bible this evening, and we've sung them as well. I've been noticing as we've sung each of the hymns, oh yeah, that's from Scripture. Oh yeah, that's from Scripture. Oh yeah. I wonder if you've paused to think about many of them. We often read from the prophet Isaiah when the family came up, Rachel, James, and the girls, and the lovely little boy. When they came up, they read from the prophet Isaiah. And it was written 700 years before Jesus' birth. Isaiah spoke to people in a country at a time of deep instability and fear. And similarly, we can say that about a number of countries in our world today. The country was wealthy and successful, but it was rapidly being zeroed in on by the surrounding nations. And Isaiah, who spoke this prophecy, saw the fall of this country in his lifetime. Isaiah prophesied that the suffering was coming, but he didn't do it through a political lens or a military lens, but through the eyes of God. He said that despite the nation's glam and wealth, that it had a dark underbelly of oppression and injustice. They turned from God, and instead they were worshipping stuff. They lived not for the benefit of themselves, of others, but solely for the benefit of themselves, and they bragged about their achievements. And we certainly see a lot of that in our world today. In Isaiah, God calls them back to himself, not to religious practice or services, but he calls them back to justice and compassion for the poor. He says, if you don't do this, I'm going to remove a hedge that I've put around you. And I'm going to fully let you experience what life is like without me. He's saying, if you want to do this, go ahead. I'm not going to stop you anymore. But in Isaiah, we see consistently light. God doesn't just warn, he always sprinkles in hope, joy, and peace. And with some of those passages we've had read tonight, in Isaiah 9, we hear these words, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. As well as this, we read, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. They are words of hope given to a nation of people who are struggling in really dark times. Isaiah says, you might be tempted to grab anyone and everyone to help you, to lead you, to show you how to find peace, but it won't be successful. For those who turn back to God and follow his leadership, God is always waiting, arms stretched wide. It's a bit like a parent whose child grows up and they know they're heading down a bad path, but they just say, I've tried, I've done everything. If you want to go that way, then you can. But the door is always open for you to come back. Isaiah reminds them of God's promises, that he will one day bring an end to all war, all pain, all suffering. And he will do it through a child that will be born. And not just any child, a child that will lead a new type of government, one that will be a government of peace. And it will rest on this child's shoulders. And we read tonight, didn't we, that he will be called Wonderful Counselor. Wonderful. It's the idea of wonder, something that we can't figure out, that's too awesome. We look at it, wow, it wonder. And we will wonder at him for eternity. The child is also not simply a human child, although it's clear he'll be born of a woman, but he's also entitled Mighty God. And before we think that's just a phrase, it's used of Yahweh himself. The child that's coming will be fully human and fully God. And he's also called Everlasting Father. Well, who is this? This is a child, and now it's a father. It's a picture of a king over a kingdom, the father of all his people. And it is a bit confusing, and the Bible is often confusing. God doesn't really fit our intellect. We want to know, well, is it A or B? And God says, well, it's A and it's B. He's full of wonder, and we can't figure him out. For example, at the beginning of John's gospel, he writes, in the beginning was the Word. That's John's name for Jesus. He says the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Well, was it? Was he with him, or was he him? It's confusing. We're lost in wonder. And so God himself will come and live amongst his creation, his Son sent from the Father, who is also himself sent. And we're confused again at the wonder of God. Finally, this child that will be born is what every Miss World says they want. World peace. He's the Prince of Peace. He is Shalom. And this is more than a feeling, it's wholeness, a fixing of all that is broken. There will always be war on the earth. There will always be pain and suffering for now. And that won't change until heaven or until Christ comes again. But it is God's ultimate plan, true peace. And we read that his kingdom of peace will last forever and is available to all. The kingdom, Jesus said, when Pilate asked him, he said, it's not of this world. It's not like this world's kingdom. It's a kingdom where there's no more suffering and pain, fear or shame. It's a kingdom established not by power, but weakness, not by revenge, but forgiveness, not by pushing others down, but by lifting others up. And it's established through Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead. It's a kingdom, though, that isn't just for the future. We sing so excitedly because as Christians we know that his kingdom has begun. We can begin to know light in the darkness, his shalom now, even in our current reality. Beyond what is around us, we know God's love for us. He can be trusted. And this peace can look like healing from addiction, love for one's enemies, the ability to forgive. It can look like the gentleness of a man who was once violent or the tenderness of a mother once bent on self-destruction. And it's found in every church, in the testimony of followers of Jesus who are filled with the Spirit of peace. And people tell again and again how God has come into their lives, into their mess, into the chaos, into the sadness, into the brokenness, and has brought his peace. In our church on a Sunday morning, once a month, we love to hear a testimony of someone in our community who will just come and share, this is what the difference God makes in my life. And I'm going to show you tonight Suzanne's testimony. She did it back in 2025, I think May. And I really love her testimony because it's saying, you know, God sometimes can come into our lives miraculously and change things. He does do miracles. He can flip our situation in the blink of an eye. But other times, he doesn't change things. But he comes and brings peace as we go through those things. So, let me see if I can get her here.
Suzanne, just yes. For those that don't know, perhaps you could just tell us how long you have been a Christian and how long you've been part of this community. and I will get my...
I have been here in Portsmouth, I think, about 20 years. And I became a Christian when I was 11 years old. Well, that's when I gave my heart to the Lord at 11.
Nice. Lovely. And so we chatted a little bit, and I was asking about things that you felt in your life that you would have really struggled to get through if you hadn't known Jesus's strength and his help and his peace. So over to you.
There was once, many years ago, when I was a teenager, we were at the youth club at church, and we were running around, and we were told not to run into the main hall. But as teenagers, we were a little bit rebellious, and we were running around. And unfortunately, I slipped, and I went through these huge glass doors. I made a real mess, a really big mess of everything, and myself. And one of the cuts I made was on my wrist, and I was told, well, my mum and dad were told, that I would never again be able to write with my right hand, and I would have a lot of physio, and it would take a long time, and they said that I would have to learn to write with my left hand. Well, within 3 months, I was taking exams at school, and that is because the church elders and the church, on that Saturday after the Friday of my accident, they prayed. And, well, I had cut the nerves, apparently, the tendons and the muscle. In fact, I almost lost my hand. But I don't. I have full use of that hand right now. And as a 16-year-old, I knew that the church prayed for me, and I was able to tell my consultant, with my very embarrassed mum, when he said to me, "I don't know really, Mrs. McCaffrey, why this has happened." And I said, "It's because my church prayed for me." And I don't really think at that age I really understood that Jesus was working in my life. It was just something that I said. I've had many experiences of God's love and presence in my life, but 10 years ago, I was diagnosed with breast cancer, and it was my very first mammogram, and the Lord just gave me peace, and within 10 days, I'd received a letter saying I had to have a biopsy, and again, I just felt the peace that Jesus gave me. And I went along to see the consultant and the results. And it's a teaching hospital in Southampton, as you know. And my consultant was there with the nurse. And we had this lovely chap who was a student doctor. And bless him, he was fumbling about with his words. And I knew what he was going to say. And I just grabbed hold of his hand and I said to him, "You're going to tell me I've got breast cancer, aren't you?" And he sort of looked at the consultant, and the consultant looked at the nurse, and I said, "Well, just tell me what we're going to do about it." And they told me I'd have to have a mastectomy. And I went along 3 weeks later for day surgery. And I live with my sisters, and they were both working that day. And I remember saying to them as I was catching the bus at 7:30 in the morning, "You know, don't worry, and because if I die, I'm going to go to heaven." And I just felt so peaceful about it, and the Lord was with me all day. I had to be on the ward for 7:30, but I didn't go into theatre until about 4:45 in the evening. So it was a long day, but it went very quickly, and the Lord was with me during my healing. Because within 3 months, I was taken off all medication and have been cleared since then. So that was all down to him. I couldn't have got through my mastectomy and my healing without knowing Jesus present. And he was very, very present with me all the time.
Well, if you want to catch Suzanne, she'll be here so you can speak to her afterwards. But let's go back to Isaiah, because Isaiah tells us that the Prince
of peace is coming. And the writers of the New Testament are convinced that Jesus is the fulfillment of all those prophecies. Hundreds of them, in fact, scattered through the Old Testament scriptures over hundreds of years. He, Jesus, will be the wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Mary writes of the words that Gabriel said to her. She's told that she'll conceive by the Holy Spirit, that is God, the creator of life, and she'll give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. Luke goes on to quote Isaiah, calling him Son of the Most High, and declaring his kingdom that he starts will last forever. Jesus is the Greek for Joshua, it means God saves. And those who follow Jesus, they admit that they cannot save themselves. So if you feel this year may have been dark, and you want to reach out and know light and hope and peace, then you can. Jesus isn't ever looking for clever or popular or the religious. His main criteria is the humble. People who are admitting and willing to say, I need him. You know, we spend our lives trying to do it on our own, to put on a brave face, to solve our problems, to protect what we have, to prove things. But Christians just admit they can't do it on their own. And that's okay, because we have a God who loves us and offers to help us and bring true and lasting peace. We will find light that is peace, healing, hope, and joy in the darkest of times when we put our trust in him. I've certainly known that myself this year. When things have got really, really tough, I've turned to God and he's been there time and time again to give me what the Bible calls a peace beyond all understanding. That means it's madness. The world, it looks crazy, but I know a peace that comes from God, and you can know that too. I'm going to pray a very short prayer. So if you like to join with me, you can. Lord Jesus, you know our lives. You know my life. You know the dark times. And you know the times I feel like things are going to overwhelm me. I admit that I often turn to other things other than you. But right now, I come to you. I want to accept you, your help, your peace, your joy. I'm sorry for what I've done to contribute to this world's pain. Please forgive me and come into my life. Help me to know light in the darkness. I choose today to follow you and for the rest of my life. Amen. I think we've just got a couple of songs left to go. If you would like one of these little books, they're on a table out there. It's just Jesus's life. It's just a biography where you'll see the kind of things that Jesus did and the way that he changed people's lives. So I'll leave those out. And please come chat with me afterwards if you'd like to.